Love can heal the problems of any individual and of any and all nations. Instinctively, we know this to be true. We value love above wisdom and above life itself, and rightly so. For without love, life could not be maintained on earth, neither by an individual nor by any group. Without love, not one single individual life would be safe for one short hour. Without love, there could be no successful program of reproduction of the species, for without love, there would be no one to care for the young, no learning, no civilization, and no people on earth. Through love, God created man and brought him thus far on his way. When man was a mere tadpole in the warm oceans, the three urges to live, to love, and to grow were at work in him. Those little creatures loved their lives enough to struggle to save them, and that struggle learned and they grew forward. They produced after their kind, and they passed on their stored wisdom to their offspring. They maintain their lives in a changing world by a wisdom which we now call the law of adaptation. The species that learned and adapted lived. Through every change of form, man has led onward through love. God has never let man fail. Never, not once. But having been brought to the point of free will, man is free to choose. And when he chooses outside of the law of love, he always chooses wrong. Love has always been at work in the hearts of at least some men. We can look down the whole march of civilization and we can see the power of love at work. Love of human beings and the love of justice have produced, among other things, courts of law, policemen, safety and fire laws, food and health regulations, child protection laws, and the right to vote, hospitals, and organizations of charity. Love of wisdom has given rise to our philosophy, our religion, and science. Love is the very base of our civilization. It led cavemen to culture and slaves to freedom. Every injustice on the earth today can be traced to a lack of love. It is not the machines, the technology, and the chemicals that threaten civilization and our social order. Technology and machines are two of man's greatest blessings, freeing his physical body and his objective mind that he may have more leisure and more time for learning and finding God. We give lip service to keeping the world peace by keeping the world fed and clothed and housed. We do not need more ingenious ways to make two stalks of corn where one grew. We need more brotherly love that teaches men how to help one another. We have this senseless circle of men devoting their lives and their fortunes to research, wrestling facts from nature and finding new ways to produce more food. This is a prayer, and the prayer is answered. And then when the new abundance of food is destroyed, while millions on earth go hungry. We do not need better institutions of learning as much as we need to teach brotherly love in the ones that we have, so that no educated man becomes antisocial and uses his education and his wits to rob and steal from his fellow man. We do not need more laws prohibiting the actions and freedom of individuals in order to bring about a better social order with more peace and prosperity for all. Quite the opposite. We need more freedom, but there cannot be more freedom until we have more brotherly love. If we had enough love, we would wipe out half of the laws and the statute books that we have today, and we would be better off for it. When men learn to conduct themselves uprightly with love or good instead of through fear of punishment, we will have complete freedom. The eye for an eye and the tooth for the tooth philosophy that remembers old hurts for generations and demands payment in kind is a wrong conception of the universal law of cause and effect. This was Moses' law, but Jesus came to give us a new law, a law that supersedes the old one. He taught the law of love and forgiveness. There is just one question facing the world today. Shall we accept the teachings of Jesus Christ as a way of life for all, or will we deny them and follow each man his own rule and his own way? In John 3:16, Jesus tells us why he came to earth. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life eternal. Jesus' whole ministry was one of love. By the parables and his own acts, he gave humanity the pattern of individual and world peace and salvation. If we accept the Christian doctrine as a way of life for all and conduct ourselves accordingly, we can change our life and the world through prayer. If we accept Christ, we must accept his doctrine of brotherly love. We must obey his command that you love one another as I have loved you. If we faithfully practice brotherly love, we shall find that we are living by prayer. And if we do not accept Christ, well, let's take a look. In our economic world, we have denied Christ and we see poverty amidst plenty. Millions are hungry on the one hand, while food is destroyed on the other to keep prices high. We see men, women, and children naked and cold while we plow under our cotton. We have denied the Christ in our industrial world, and we have problems with labor and capital and strikes and fights and turmoil. We have denied Christ in our relations with our fellow man, and we have race hatreds. We have minority group problems. We have denied him, and we have wars that kill our people, devastate our earth, and create problems for generations to come. In our private lives, we have closed the door on the Christ within, and we see divorce, crime, and delinquency at an all-time high. We have forgotten the Christ in our ideology, and we have brother fighting against brother. We have professionals banding together to benefit themselves at the expense of other people. We have unions and associations and lobbies set up for private gain and public loss. After God has brought us on our way as far as we could by blind nature and instinct, he gave us free will. And that is where we are like him. But man, having free will, decided to use it and no longer look to God alone to be led by him. Isn't this the real meaning of the story of Adam and Eve and the fall of man? Man set out to live alone and was soon in trouble. The troubles multiplied, and finally man, never being completely able to lose sight of God, decided to look for him again. The Old Testament tells us of the search of one who would lead them back to God and to everlasting life. The old prophets foretold of the coming of the Christ. And God so loved the world that he gave through Christ the answer to every problem we shall ever face, either as an individual or a nation or as a world. Love one another as I have loved you. Not millions of dollars, not elaborate plans and boards and departments and armies and navies and taxes. No, that is not what we need to change the world, to give it permanent, lasting peace. Love, that is all we need. Not money, but love is what makes the world go round. Remove love from the heart of every person, and the nation would only be bankrupt in a week. But every hall of learning would close, along with every church and institution of mercy, justice, and protection of life and property. Money is of no value without love. What good are books and teachers if one does not love wisdom? What good are courts if one does not love justice? Where there is no love, there is no life, no truth, no beauty, no wisdom worth knowing. Someone may say, oh, sure, the world does need more love. But what can I do? I'm only one little individual. Nothing worthwhile in this world has ever been done except by individuals. And sometimes individuals bond together. Would you like to help heaven come to earth? Then, like Abu Ben Adhem, be the one who loves your fellow men. look upon their worried faces, their tired and their sick bodies, hear their cries, consider the problems of the land. Out of many, select one, or only one phase of one problem, which today torments humanity, and work in that little corner. Work at it with all the further fervor which your heart is capable. Feed his sheep. Don't think you can't serve humanity through the power of love. You can. Every great reform, every great service of mercy has grown out of the love of some individual's heart. Florence Nightingale loved humanity. She dared to defy the custom of her day to go forth and nurse men wounded in the war. Elizabeth Fry, spurred by the love in her heart, made it her business to help poor prisoners in England. She went to Newgate Prison and she was shocked when she learned that the others had accepted as right and beyond cure the conditions that she found there. And she began her reforms, which spread all over Europe. And no prison has been quite the same since. We can count it as law that no endeavor born of love will ever fail. No love ever is lost. Our churches, our hospitals, our institutions of learning, with their hard-working and underpaid, could never have survived but for the power of love. Look around you. Select a problem. Put love to work. Take God as your partner in the plan to serve your fellow man. And you cannot fail. And you will find such peace and joy as you do not know in your very best dreams ever existed. Do you want to change your life through prayer? Would you like to make the world a better place for everyone? Do you want people to love you? Do you want some individual to love you just for yourself alone and for nothing more? Nothing that you can give them, say to them, be for them? Then learn to love. Learn to pray without ceasing. If you are longing for love, then do not look for someone to love you. Rather, look for someone to love. Love goes where it is welcome. When the air around you becomes filled with your love for others, when everyone you know realizes that you love the best in them, then love will come to you, for nothing can or wants to keep away from love. In Emerson's essay on compensation, he says, "Love and you shall be loved. All love is mathematically just, as much as the two sides of an algebraic equation." When someone comes along who appreciates that it's highest and best in us, and like God, forgives the worst in us, invites us to sit by the fire of his own great good love, thus restoring our faith in ourselves, how can we turn away from that? We cannot. We love him. Have you noticed that people who have been convicted of crimes and misdemeanors never ever blame themselves for their actions? Every man at least glimpses the kind of man he could be if he would follow the dictates of his soul. He does not want to be judged as a final and finished character on the evidence of his acts alone. We all know there is always more to us than it appears on the surface. The criminal makes excuses for his outward act, strongly maintaining that he is not a criminal at heart. And he is not. There has never been a criminal whose life would not be different if he had love at the time and in a way that he needed it. When we learn to love even a fraction as much as Jesus loved, we shall know how to handle every human relations problem with ease. Didn't he say to the sinning woman, "Neither do I condemn you," and did not ask punishment or put a brand of shame upon the poor woman's soul? His only admonition was, "Go and do not sin again." He told the thief on the cross with him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he cried out, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," on behalf of his persecutors. If only we could love and forgive our fellow man as Christ Jesus asked us to do. Could we forgive 70 times 7? Could we see past the sin, the mistakes, to man's soul, to his likeness to God, and forgetting the bad, love the good in him? Dare we follow in his footsteps? Only to the extent that we do will we change our life and our world from what they are to what we want them to be. Bible students and teachers of metaphysics, see deep and hidden meanings in every single one of Jesus' words. They say that modern science, especially in the fields of physics, is rapidly proving every claim that Jesus made concerning the kingdom of heaven. For example, they say that Jesus knew all about time, space, and relativity, as evidenced is his seeing the harvest, which those around him could not see and said was months away. But you and I need not concern ourselves with these deep matters. We can obey Jesus and use that childlike approach and find him. We need not ask whether Christian principles will work in the world for all. We can see and we can test for ourselves his teachings concerning love. Jesus told us to love children, and now we realize that love is the most important treasure that we can give our children. Baby experts are telling us that young children simply must be made aware of their parents' love if they are to thrive as they should. A noted woman physician wrote a book about young babies withering and nearly dying for the lack of love. To a growing child, nothing is so important as a sense of security that love gives him. Not only love for the child by the parents, but love between the parents. I have seen boisterous, ill-mannered children turn into models of deportment by being given a definite part in the family, life, and work, which assured them that they were needed, wanted, and loved. We have long thought of the importance of love to women, but businessmen have conceded, probably kicking and screaming, that a man cannot succeed in life if he has not the love of at least one good woman, if not a wife, then a mother, a sister, or a friend. Every expert says that the high rate of failure of men starting small individual business ventures lies not in his inability, but in a lack of love. People sometimes say, if God loves us, why does he let this and that, thus and so, happen? To answer this question, it helps to compare God's love for us with the love of earthly parents for their children. Now, long before a child is born, good parents have already made plans for it. They've taken steps and precautions for its future welfare. They've started college funds and even signed them up for those prestigious preschools. They work for it. They make ready for its arrival. They love and protect it with their very lives, if need be. And even when it is still so young that it is utterly unaware of its own existence and theirs. As a child grows, they teach him as rapidly as his developing intellect will allow. And the parents hope that the child will someday develop far enough along to recognize them and love them in return. But if later the child refuses the parental counsel and love and insists upon leaving home and living his own life, even though it may lead to unhappiness and poverty, good and wise parents will permit him to live on his own, to live his own life, knowing that it is his divine privilege to scorn their love, their advice, and even their desire to help. This is the picture of God and the human race. Isn't it the same? It seems that all of our Creator ever wanted, ever brought us into existence for, was to have something to love, something that would love Him in return. In order to do this, man had to have free will. To have created us so that we were forced to love our Creator, forced to do His will, would have robbed us of our free will, the power of choosing, and would have defeated His primary purpose. In all of history, man, there is no evidence that God ever stopped loving man for one single instant. Jesus knew this so well, and He tried so hard and so patiently to tell us about our relation to God. Jesus called Him Father and said that all that the Father has is ours if we will but call on Him and ask that our daily needs be met. But there are certain rules that have to be followed. We are to forgive our debtors if we expect God to forgive our debts. This is the law of love at work. It is at work throughout the universe, for God is love. And surely we know the golden rule is the law of love at work. Einstein was right. If 2% of the people lived by the law of love, they could change the world and rule it by and through love. Would you truly change your life through prayer? Then pray that love rule your head, your heart, your hand. Go into your closet, be still, and talk to God, saying, "Great Infinite Spirit, in me and around me everywhere present, I thank you for life, for love, and for wisdom. Work through me as you work through Jesus the Christ. Teach me to do your will." Try this for a month. Be sincere. Think deeply about it and live up to it. When a problem arises, take a moment to ask yourself how the Christ in you would handle it, and then act accordingly. If you do this, you will gradually find your work becoming a prayer. You will find that the morning is blessed to you and that you can pray while you rest. Your eyes will be open to the good all around you that you did not notice before. You will meet new people to love and see new ways to serve. Friends will come unbidden. Your health and your fortune will improve. Your mind will become keen and alert, and new truths will become evident to you. Life will move in an orderly sequence of desire, work, fulfillment, and happiness. Keep it up long enough, and you will change your whole life for the better. Open your heart and let Him in. For he who will receive the Christ and so use enough of God's life and love and wisdom will also receive all the good that the universe has to offer in this world and in all the worlds to come. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable. Rest your feet on the floor and place your hands comfortably in your lap or at your sides and just relax. Close your eyes. Shut out everything that is not inside this beautiful sanctuary. And just relax and be still. Quiet your mind. Let go of all of those worrisome thoughts that are swirling around inside your head. Let go of any anger, any resentment, any jealousy that you may be harboring, and just be still. Be still and go within to the center of your being, where our Father welcomes you with His open arms and His unconditional love. God is everywhere present. All of mankind in absolute truth are now spiritual and perfect, expressing only love, wisdom, and intelligence. In reality, there are no separate nations, because all men, women, and children belong to the one nation frontiers to conquer, because God is one and cannot be separated from himself. In truth, the only weapons are the forces of love and wisdom. God, the Father of us all, is present in every man, woman, and child on the planet, and therefore they can only know and express serene peace, divine intelligence, and divine love. For the awareness of this truth of all being and your perfection in all things, O most gracious and loving Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love.